to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for sticking with us on this Friday morning, 251-343-0106. If you would like to respond to anything we are discussing this morning. Joining us now, it is Friday, and at this time every Friday, we are joined by our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott from Daphne. Senator, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great back in South Alabama and out of Montgomery, so that's always a good thing.
It still seems there is, a pretty hectic, frantic pace at the State House. Tell us a little bit about, maybe much different subject matter, but the pace seems to be about the same.
That's correct. Things are moving along. There are a lot of pieces of legislation up there. A lot of controversial pieces of legislation that we're dealing with and working hard on. I will tell you, I'm as busy this year as we have been, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. So, your legislators are up there and they are working, and that's sometimes odd for the fourth year of a quadrennium where everybody's ready to get back and get to campaigning. But I'm not seeing any desire for that right now. Everybody seems to be focused on their job, at least from my vantage point.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, some of the things you're looking at, though, I mean, there's obviously the hot button, the usual things that we talk about, but there's also some blocking and tackling, maybe not quite rising to the level of social issue, controversial, but enough to where it is something that's not going to go completely unnoticed.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been working on some legislation that is flying below the radar in some circles, and I'm fine with that. But, that deals with the Gulf of Mexico Energy Security Act. That's money that's been coming to coastal Alabama from offshore oil and gas leases, and that's money that we desperately want to keep here in coastal Alabama. Bill, I've worked on and gotten out of the Senate before and gotten down to the House where it's not matriculated, but I've got good colleagues in the House that are assuring me they're working on it this session. So that bill, Senate Bill 9 of mine, is in the House in Chris Pringle's committee, state government committee that he's got. I think you had him on earlier, and he's the chairman of that committee. And then I think Representative Chip Brown is picking up the ball and running with it down there. So I anticipate that moving along very quickly. That's an important bill. We received over $40 million in coastal Alabama from that funding just last year alone. We want to make sure it stays around.
Well, you're going to run into some opposition to this. We'll talk about that. Prospects, do you find your colleagues in other parts of the state interested in going along with this?
Well, they were in the Senate, not without some kicking and screaming, but that's what building those relationships is about, and that's what flexing a little bit is about, and that's something coastal Alabama could stand to do a little bit more of, in my opinion. So we were able to do that upstairs, and I hope my colleagues in the House will be able to get that across the line. But, certainly anytime you're talking about money and where it's going and where it's staying, it can be a little bit of give and take, but it's important. I ran 4 years ago on making sure we get our share and keep our share, and that we make sure we bring that money back to coastal Alabama. And I'm proud to say we're doing that in transportation money. We're doing that in Go Mesa money so far. We're doing that in a lot of different areas, and that's something I want to make sure we keep doing.
Yeah, and that a lot of that money can be used for needs in this part of the state. Tell us beyond that, you're looking at some other blocking and tackling bills. Tell us about this RSA bill. It would kind of loosen the rules on what government employees can or when they can work.
It will, and it's a big, complicated bill again, and that seems to be my niche, for better or worse. What I looked at is we lament employee shortages across all industries, but including the public sector, especially when it comes to school teachers and others. We run into this arbitrary limit that's in the statute now that says you can't work, come back after retirement and work in an RSA environment the retirement systems of Alabama environment, and make more than $30,000+. And that keeps teachers from coming back to work, bus drivers from coming back to work, other public employees in the corrections industry or the corrections field or others from coming back to work. And, you know, Jeff, I look at things through a private sector lens, and I go, gosh, you know, if your 401k has this much money in it, we don't say, okay, not only must you retire, but you can't continue to work, not just for this employer, but in your chosen, you know, profession anymore, right? If you're in law enforcement or you're an educator. And that to me just seems antithetical to say, we're just going to tell these folks they can't work anymore. A Republican legislature ought to be saying, if you want to work and we want you to work, then you're hired and let's keep going. We lose teachers every day to Georgia and Tennessee and Mississippi and Florida because they are prohibited from continuing to work, for Alabama, for the state of Alabama, because they've elected to take their benefit that they've earned, their earned benefit of retirement. It doesn't make any sense to me. If these folks want to keep working, let's let them keep working. Got no problem with that. And I think it'll help not only with a shortages that we're seeing now, but I think it will help long term as well. And I'm proud that I think we've got all the interested parties over a lot of hard work in the offseason kind of coalesced around a piece of legislation. Now I've just got to make sure we sell it to our members and get them to get their heads around it.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, tell me this, though. This is something I've heard mentioned a few times as it pertains to the ongoing prison crisis and allowing perhaps retired police officers or law enforcement officials, you know, just as a stopgap measure until you get the new prisons up and going, to come back and work for the state in that capacity, making, you know, they're not going to come in and work for less than whatever the limit is, the current limit, but offering that as a possibility, and it gives the state flexibilities. The prison system is just something that comes to mind, but does it go beyond education? Is there other places where this is applicable?
It does, and it goes across really all different factions of government. When you start looking at it, there are all kinds of places where we are simply precluding somebody from continuing to work for the state because at one point they worked for the state in whatever capacity. Whether that's a law enforcement officer that wants to go work in education or a law enforcement officer that wants to go work in the corrections system or vice versa, it just makes no sense to me. The private sector would never operate like this. And we are almost hamstringing ourselves. We are hamstringing ourselves by saying, we've offered a benefit package, you're eligible for the benefit package, but if you take it, we're no longer going to let you participate in our workforce. And government is one of those places where it's kind of unique, right? You're a teacher, you're either working for a private school or you're working for the government, right? Well, there's not a whole lot of places to go in that chosen profession. Same thing with law enforcement, same thing with corrections opportunities. There's just You can't continue to work in your chosen profession, and that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. If we can get folks that are ready, willing, and able to come back, you know, we should do it. Senator Orr's got a bill that's going to require a lot more math tutors to try to keep folks up and going, get our math scores up. I think it's a great piece of legislation, provides a lot of funding. The problem is, where are we going to hire these folks? Hey, let's see if we can get some retired teachers that want to come back, earn a little bit of extra money, and help coach math. This seems like a clear and easy way to accomplish that goal.
Senator, you brought up education. And tell me how much this is a product of this, you think, that there's a school of thought out there that says, based on what had happened in Virginia in that election in November, now is the time to push a lot of different progressive or new or outside the box education policies, as Alabama, that seems to be the biggest vulnerability in the state, is its weak K-12 education system. But tell me, is there school choice? Obviously, maybe just a little too big of a lift for this session. Do you think we're going to see something, though, at least some kind of gesture made toward public schools in this state this session?
I do. And whether that's the the Literacy Act from years ago finally being implemented, albeit with a delay, whether that's what Senator Orr is trying to accomplish with his Numeracy Act, right, that's dealing with our math scores, or whether what Senator Marsh is trying to deal with you know, some version of school choice. The time is ripe, in my opinion, for the opportunity for some sweeping changes to education, to acknowledge, if nothing else, that we have significant problems in success in our schools, and we've got to figure out what the underlying causes are. It's not punitive. That's not telling our teachers, hey, you're not doing a good job. That's us. We all are failing our children in public education statewide. That's parents. That's legislators. Yes, that's educators to some extent, but that's all of us not doing what we need to do to make sure our children are successful. As a parent, that's my number one responsibility. As educators, that should be our number one responsibility. And heck, as legislators, we ought to make sure we're doing that. And I am happy with whatever type of outside-the-box thinking we need to come up with. There are no sacred cows here. Let's fix this, and let's get things moving in the right direction. And, yes, let's try some things that are uncomfortable. Yes, let's try some things that are that may be untested. We've got to try something, because dead last is untenable for me, and I want to fix it.
Well, then, you know, if Chris Elliott is king for the day in Alabama, I mean, it's such a complicated issue. You know, everybody's thinking these outside-the-box approaches, like a school choice bill or something. But to me, the question I would have, well, we want better public schools, not necessarily. I mean, I know that dollar needs to fall. I get the concept. But at the end of the day, if you have a school choice plan, you still have crummy public schools, generally speaking. You just have students the opportunity to have other options, and that's fine and dandy. But, you know, when business looks at coming to the state, they say, hey, I would like to locate in the South. It's right to work. It is something that is very good for us. And then the tiebreaker is, well, what do the public schools look like? Well, 51st Alabama scratched them off the list. What do you do there? I mean, it's something that I don't really have a good answer for, and I know you've probably contemplated this question 100 million different ways. But what are we missing here?
We need to have well-funded public schools with not only the resources that they need to teach, but frankly the resources they need to implement remedial action. We're behind. We need to understand that we're behind, and we need to provide the funding to get us back up to par. Two, we have got to demand accountability from our administration. We've got to demand accountability from our educators. And above all, we've got to demand accountability of our students and our teachers. And that is a lot of what the Literacy Act is doing and saying, listen, if you're not up to speed, you're not moving on. That's a hard thing to say, but that's something we've absolutely we've got to do. And then lastly, we have got to lead on career tech. We've got to lead on career tech that absolutely focuses on what the advanced manufacturing workforce that we need for the jobs that we're recruiting is there and ready to go. These kids have got to understand that when they get out of high school, and they go into the workforce, they have the skills and that they need in order to be successful immediately. And I think those three things, if I'm king for the day, those are the three things that I focus on to improve education in Alabama, get us on the right track.
Well, the funding, tell us. Every year you hear record education budget, and as far as I can tell, per pupil spending is much better than when you compare it to other states. We're much higher up the list than we are on the overall quality of education by a lot of metrics, you know, the 51st or 52nd or whatever they say. Where is the disconnect there? Is it just where the money is being put?
That's exactly where it is. Listen, our educators are incredibly valuable to our school system, and they have school systems across the state, and they have seen record pay raises over the last number of years. And that is a great thing. We need to focus on funding that goes to the student. And that is where we need to focus. That money needs to be directed to direct aid to the student to make sure that that is where the success is needed, and that's where the money is focused. I'm glad we have seen increases in teacher funding. I think we've done enough for now. Now it's time to focus on the students. And it is a balancing act. You got to have good teachers that are highly compensated in order to want to work in this system. But I think that the pendulum needs to swing here. That funding needs to be laser focused on remediation, and it also needs to be focused on success driven programs that demand success of our students, our parents, and our educators.
Well, explain that. When you say the money needs to go to the student, what would that money be used for? We hear programs, we hear less money toward teachers, we need to put it toward the student. So the legislature writes a big check to XYZ school, money earmarked for the student. What is that to be spent on exactly?
Those are the programs that lift achievement, okay? So then, and it's funding for that. It's not a blanket, percentage pay raise for education employees across the state. Rather, it's laser focused on improving math scores and programs and tutors that improve math scores. It's laser focused on funding and programs that increase reading capacity. Those are the types of things that I think are crucial. It's programs, again, like Career Tech, that say, okay, let's partner with advanced manufacturers so that you understand how to use the very equipment that you're going to be using when you go to build airplanes for Airbus or ships for Austal or nacelles for Collins Aerospace, et cetera. Those things that you're going to be using in your particular region, let's laser focus on those, as opposed to blanket pay raises or retiree bonuses, et cetera.
Senator, you're always very kind to make time for us. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you so much. Y'all have a great weekend.
We'll talk to you later. State Senator Chris Elliott there, our returning champion. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back to wrap it all up. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.